In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, let us quieten this morning our hearts and minds in thanksgiving and prayer. Holy and righteous God, our dear Heavenly Father, as we have come here this morning, dear Father, to gather around your holy and precious word. First of all, dear Father, we wish to thank you for the protection that you have given unto us through the last night and awakened us to a new day of grace. Dear Father, we thank you for the many blessings that you have bestowed upon us. We thank you for our homes and our families. We thank you for the work that you have provided for us, dear Father. And we wish to thank you, dear Father, for these precious escorts that you have given unto each one of us to help us along this road to heaven. But above all these things, dear Father, we desire to thank you for this greatest gift that sin-fallen mankind can own. This gift of your dear Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, whom you saw it good, dear Father, to send down from heaven to save us from sin. Dear Father, we ask that you would continue to protect us, continue to lead us, continue to forgive us on this narrow pathway which leads to heaven. Dear Father, we ask that you would remember those who are traveling on the outside of this precious kingdom. Effect in their hearts and conscience that need to find those grace tables and ask for their sins forgiven. Dear Father, remember those who are struggling with difficulties in this life. Comfort and uplift them. You know very closely each one of our lives, dear Father. And we enclose our trust in you. All of this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. We also, dear brothers and sisters, have a wedding prayer of a couple that is getting married here soon. It is for Ingrid, Elizabeth Koivukangas, and Clint David Lundeen, who will be married here at this church on May 29th. And we pray on their behalf. Dear Heavenly Father, Thou who hast established marriage, bless this covenant. Grant this couple one-mindedness and love, and make their home a Christian home. Amen. In the beginning, I would wish to bring you the greetings of love and God's peace from our gathering there yesterday at Minneapolis Church, where we had a board members' workshop there for all of North America congregations. There were many gathered there, and we had a very nice time. Those kinds of workshops and meetings, when you sit there, you wish that everybody could experience these. For that work is much important, very important. And it is so uplifting to sit there and feel that unity of spirit. And it is only by and through our Heavenly Father that this unity prevails. And may it so prevail. We can only thank God for this. I thought for this morning's text we would read from 1 Peter. Its first chapter. And we will read verses 3 through 9. With that continuing prayer, that God would open His Word as He sees fit, and that He would also give us ears to hear and hearts to believe. The words are in Jesus' name as follows. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, ye love, in whom though now ye see Him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Amen. The theme for this Sunday, dear brother and sister, is God's people long for home. This portion of God's Word that we have before us speaks to us about that heavenly home that we are endeavoring to get to. We as children of God, and even those that are on the outside of this precious kingdom, I believe that each one has a longing one day to get to heaven. I dare say there's not too many people that don't want to get to heaven. Peter here is writing to the believers, and if we were to look in the first verse of this chapter, it says that Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. We understand and know that God's Word is a living Word. And God's Word is living because it goes on from generation to generation. God's Word says that it will last forever. His precious Word. It's interesting. The Bible speaks to those who are that are traveling according to God's Word as strangers and foreigners. And isn't this how it is? That the world oftentimes looks at us as strangers. But dear brother and sister, this portion that we have before us, Peter begins by saying, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." Peter understood the gift that he had. And he was thanking and praising God for this precious gift. It is a gift that we could say certainly the human mind does not comprehend what a great gift we have. But through that Spirit of God which enters into one, when they believe their sins forgiven in Jesus' name and blood, then that Spirit of God enters. And that Spirit of God assures us, it comforts us, it forgives us. Oftentimes this is a stumbling block for many. That how can man forgive sins? In Jesus' time, Jesus was asked the same question. How can Jesus forgive sins? We know God is found in three persons. There is God the Father, which is in heaven. There is God the Son, which was our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And there is God the Spirit. And they are three in one. Those who believe carry that Spirit of God. So man does not forgive sins himself. But it is God, through the Spirit, that one carries when believing their sins forgiven. This is how God's work continues. Jesus Himself left those keys to the kingdom before His ascension into heaven. This is how man is saved, by and through believing their sins forgiven. There is no other way to heaven. Jesus Himself fulfilled the other way by walking and fulfilling God's law, that condemning law. Jesus did this because man is incapable of doing it. Right there in the Garden of Eden, we inherited sin. When that fall came, we are sinners before God. But dear brother and sister, Peter is speaking here now of the gift that he has, in that you have this gift of living faith. He says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." What is this lively hope that Peter is speaking of? It is that hope of heaven. It is that gift of faith that God has gifted unto you and me. And this gift of faith is continually being offered to those on the outside of His kingdom. And it will continue to be offered till God closes those grace doors. Just as God closed those doors at the time of Noah in that ark. It wasn't Noah that closed those doors, but it was God Himself. And so this work continues from generation to generation to generation, till that last day where we can be called to heaven's home. Dear brother and sister, we are on a good road. A road that leads us to heaven's shore. This text continues and it speaks of heaven. And it says here that to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. This verse speaks about being kept. So I ask you, dear brother and sister, has it been on your own power and strength that you are able to gather here today? That you are able to believe your sins forgiven? No, of course it isn't. It is by and through the power of God. We are incapable in our own selves. And it's important for us to remember this. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, it speaks of this grace. And it says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast." So here we see how this grace that has been given unto us, and this grace that is offered to the world, to those that are on the outside of this kingdom, it is a gift that God is giving and offering. All we need to do is accept it and believe it. Because it says here, it is the gift of God. And what a precious gift it is, dear brother and sister. But it says here that who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. So we could think about this verse and ask that, well, what is Peter, when he writes here, ready to be revealed, what is he meaning? Peter is writing here of being ready when that call comes for each one of us. When that day of death comes, Peter is writing and encouraging us here to be ready. So how can we be ready? I think each one of us knows. Simply by believing, our sins forgiven. Putting sin away when sin besets. Traveling with this kind of fear of God, that we fear sin. That when sin besets us, then the conscience reminds us that put that sin away. This is the endeavor of faith, dear brother and sister. There are many, many temptations and trials that are set before us on this way to heaven's shore. Oftentimes it is said, and the Bible speaks many times of this, that it is a battle. It's a battle against the threefold enemy. And and it's important, dear brother and sister, and you dear precious youth, that we do battle. And that we don't let sin harden the conscience. This is what the enemy of souls wants. He wants sin to harden the conscience. He preaches to us that don't go and speak of whatever we have done. He knows what happens if we do go speak of what we have done. The enemy of souls hates the gospel. Because he knows when the gospel is preached that inner body in us endeavors to travel according to God's holy and precious word. This time that we are living it's certainly a time of watchfulness. The enemy of souls has his way of lulling us into a sleep, you could say. And I think that part of this is how he's done this is even through technology. That what we see and do on our devices, it slowly but surely, I think, hardens us to even those kind of things that are actually in the world. For instance, I think that it starts out very innocently. Like, let's even say about watching something online. Say it's a sports clip or whatever. And so we watch that and yeah, you think that there's probably nothing too bad with that. And so we do this. The flesh, isn't it so that the flesh continues to want more? And pretty soon that the devil's trying to tempt us to actually, okay, well, what's the difference? Just watch the whole game. So then, slowly but surely, this is how he wants to lull us into a, you could say, a sleep. So then, okay, so then we're starting to do this. We're watching the whole game. Does he stop there, dear brother and sister, and you, dear youth? No, he doesn't stop there. Now he's starting to taunt us and tempt us to, well, if you're watching it on your screen, go to the stadium and watch it there. This is how the enemy works. This is how he puts us to sleep. And oh, we need to be watchful, dear brother and sister, dear youth. So then we try to justify in our own minds all kinds of things. We're capable of justifying all kinds of things. At least I am. What does the Bible say about sitting in the seat of the scornful? That is what the Bible is speaking of, is going to those kinds of places, whatever it may be. Where we might be the only one amidst this whole stadium of unbelievers. And I dare say, if we're there sitting there, the conscience is saying, should you be here? Is this the place of a believer? Dear brother and sister, you dear youth, listen to that voice of the conscience. And if the conscience has become hardened, listen to what God's Word teaches. We want to be as little children in His kingdom. Desiring the sincere milk of His Word. For what is our purpose, dear brother and sister? What is our purpose here? God has placed us here on that pathway that one day leads to the shores of heaven. And He has placed those believers in the midst of this world so that those on the outside of God's kingdom can find and hear God's precious Word. There is much work to do. But dear brother and sister, it is a good work. Because it is God's work. Even if we don't open our mouths in this world, and we endeavor to travel as Scripture teaches us to travel, those on the outside of God's kingdom, if God affects in their heart, they will find the kingdom. God will lead and guide them here. This is what Peter here is writing about. Being ready to be revealed in the last time. This is our endeavor. We battle against our own flesh. We battle against the enemy of souls. We battle against this world. But dear brother and sister, it is a worthwhile battle. And when we endeavor to put sins away, when they beset us, that goal of heaven remains bright and shiny. It is a place we want to get to. So continue to battle, dear brother and sister. Even now, uplift your hearts and believe all of your sins and doubts, your latest fears forgiven in Jesus' name and precious blood. You, dear youth, you can believe all of your sins and doubts forgiven in Jesus' name and precious blood. It is a good pathway that we are on. We have a good God, a God that continues to lead us, continues to forgive us. And may we have that heartfelt prayer that God would continue to do this. And that God would continue to lead and guide. That God would continue to bless us with workers in His kingdom. It is a precious kingdom we dwell in. In the 8th verse it says, whom having not seen, ye love Him, ye love, in whom though ye now ye see Him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. When reading this portion of God's Word, it comes to my mind when Jesus appeared to those disciples and that Thomas wasn't there with them. And when Thomas came to His disciples, Jesus was gone. And so the disciples, of course, were telling Thomas that Jesus appeared here. He was here with us. Thomas, he told those disciples that, I don't believe you. unless I see Jesus myself. Did Jesus leave Thomas there in his unbelief? No, he did not. Jesus there appeared before Thomas. But what did he tell Thomas? He said, "Because thou hast seen, thou hast believed." And he said, "Blessed are those that have not seen and have yet believed." Dear brother and sister, Jesus was speaking of you and I. Blessed are those. We are a fortunate people. Even though the trials of this life are there before us, it pays to believe. The reward is great. That persecution that we receive, it's a worthwhile. To receive it and bear it. Because God will lead us to those shores of heaven. So dear brother and sister, uplift your heart and believe, all of your sins forgiven in Jesus' name and blood. And maybe there is one here, or even those who are listening online, that find themselves on the outside of this precious kingdom. You too have come to the right place. You can uplift your heart and believe all of your sins, that greatest sin of unbelief, forgiven in Jesus' name and precious blood. God wants you to also believe, so that you too can get to that heaven's shore. May we continue to have this longing for home in heaven. And I too, coming here before you, dear brother and sister, ask that, can I have my sins and doubts forgiven? My desire is to believe with you. And I ask also for your prayers. I will be leaving for Saskatchewan to serve the believers there in Saskatoon for spring services. I'll be leaving Thursday morning. And I ask for your prayers. And I will bring your greetings there. In Jesus' name. And always the blessed name. Amen. Let us quiet in our hearts in closing benediction. The Lord bless us and keep us. The Lord make His face shine upon us and be gracious unto us. The Lord lift up His countenance upon us and give us peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.